God bless you this morning, beloved, in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, I was just listening to the last devotion as after studying and praying and seeking the Lord. And something that hit me so hard was that the illusions of Adam will melt away with fervent heat. And then mankind will see how deceived they've been, and no one will see it more clear than religious people who were believing a lie, who were believing that God was here to make their lives happy and to give them what their natural man wants, and that God was going to give them great success, and they were going to go from success to success. And when that great tribulation comes and they're left here, because they're living in their own life, not understanding the cross. They don't hate their life. They're not denying themselves. They're not suffering in Christ. No, they're trying to be happy, pursuing happiness, the American dream. And man, when all that trouble breaks out, just as we saw a very small taste of in COVID, there was no differentiation between the believers and the unbelievers. Everybody suffered alike. And man, when the great tribulation gets here, and the illusion that so many Christians have of how God wants to bless their life in this world, when they begin to really suffer, when 100-pound hailstones are coming out of the sky and they're not picking houses, they're hitting everybody indiscriminately, they're going to see the truth, and all their illusions will melt away. And fervent heat. And that fervent heat is several different things. One is actually, the sun is going to scorch the earth. It's going to become so hot that the earth will be completely scorched with the fire of the sun itself. That's going to happen in the earth. And then the other side of the fervent heat is the fiery trials that people are going to be going through as their illusions melt away, as they begin to see and understand they've been duped, they've been lied to. And then they realize, oh my goodness, and the Holy Spirit has to begin to show them, God never came to bless your life. He never came to give your life success. He came so that you would hate your life and that you would lay hold of His. And when they begin to see that, friend, that many of them will stop caring and living for the things. There won't be anything left to live for. Things are going to be being destroyed. And then many will cling to Christ. There's going to be such a massive harvest during the Great Tribulation. A massive harvest. One like as unto the Son of Man sat upon a cloud with a sickle in His hand. And the Father says it's time, and Jesus puts in His sickle, and there's a massive, massive revival during the Great Tribulation. An angel has just went throughout the earth preaching the gospel. I mean, unbelievable things are going to happen. One angel is going to go and preach the gospel in the entire world after the two witnesses ascend up into heaven. The world kills them. They're preaching Christ. They're preaching the cross. They're preaching the resurrection. They're preaching the ascension. The world kills them and leaves them lying in the street. And then God demonstrates what they preached in the eyes of every human. And the Bible says, finally, it says that men give glory to God. When those witnesses ascend into heaven, that men gave glory to God. I mean, the whole world begins to see the truth. An angel comes down into the world immediately and begins to preach the gospel. The Antichrist has no power over that angel. He can't do anything with that angel. An angel goes throughout the entire world preaching the gospel. And then Jesus puts a sickle in and reaps a massive harvest of souls. But right after that, there's another angel that puts a sickle in, and death and destruction reign. And the blood comes to the horse's bridle, and all those that receive the mark of the beast and that reject the life of Jesus Christ, oh my goodness, they're going to be plunged into the deepest, darkest pain and destruction that man has ever known. And oh goodness, it just got me really, really shaken thinking about it, because I remember when my illusions began to melt away and all of my suffering and pain and disappointment and discouragement and just seeing what I am and having no power to make myself anything different. Oh my goodness, the sorrow and the darkness, the inner pain, the sorrows become worse to deal with than the outer pain. I mean, my goodness, hell, the sorrows that people feel, the utter hopelessness, the deep, deep darkness and sorrow that people will feel, the deep sense of loss is going to be more painful even than the fire. Oh, that just shakes me. It shakes me. And I was praying this morning and thinking about the subject of deception. And the Spirit of God was speaking to me, and I don't really like what I was hearing, but I'm going to share it. He said it's not hard for the enemy to deceive Adam. All he does is give Adam what he wants. And I was seeing how deception works. It's not something outside of us. It's not just some devil out there making some crazy thing up. Friend, no, he comes to us and he tells us what we want to hear. This is the amazing thing. We are the ones that deceive ourselves. It's not even the devil. The devil just helps us along the way in our own self-deception. He just comes to us, friend, and he doesn't make something up. He doesn't come to you with some strange new concept, you know. If you'll reject God, you can fly like Superman. He doesn't come to you with some strange concept. No, all he does is he comes to you gently telling you what you want to hear. He comes to you telling you a lie, but it's the lie that you want to hear. He's telling you how much God loves your life, and you don't have to worry about anything. He's going to put you on the top. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how much you're sinning. Just keep confessing. You know, keep confessing that you're on the top. There's all kinds of lies that have nothing to do with the truth, and they're taken out of the truth. They're plucked from the truth and used to deceive man. But the reason I was thinking about this is as I was listening to that devotion, I was just seeing Adam getting mad at the things I was saying. And I could see Adam saying, it's pride. It's Adam saying, I'm not deceived. It's Adam's pride that refuses to believe that he's deceived. And when we talk about how deceived mankind is, it will cause a defense mechanism to rise up in people because they just don't feel like they're that gullible. They don't feel like that the enemy could deceive them. They feel like they know the truth. They feel like they believe the truth. And so when you start talking about the depth of the truth and they begin to see or they're confronted with their illusions, friend, they become defensive because they feel like nobody can just come on the outside of me and deceive me that badly. But the truth is, friend, the devil didn't come on the outside and deceive us that badly. All he did was give us what we wanted. When he talked to Eve, friend, he didn't come with some great deception. He didn't. He just said, eat of this tree and you'll be like God. You know, it'll give you knowledge. And the Bible said when she looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food, you know, she saw that it was going to give her some kind of nourishment. All Satan did with Eve was tempt her with her own appetite. He didn't come to her with something he made up. He came to her with something she wanted. He came to her with something that she desired. The devil, all of our wonderful ministers in the past that we love, many of them were very good Adams. And many of them lied to us. Not because they were bad people walking with the devil, the way we think. They were bad people walking with, all of us are. But they didn't deceive us because of how evil they were. They deceived us because the devil deceived them by telling them God's here to give them what they want. And when the devil told them that, they thought it was the Spirit of God. They thought it was the devil disguises himself, friend, as an angel of truth. He comes to tell us what we want to hear. God loves your life. He wants to bless your life. He's here to make you happy. He's here to put you on the top. If you'll believe and confess this, you'll get rich. You'll get popular. You know, God's going to pour out treasures on you. He's going to put you on the top of everybody. I mean, the devil is such a master deceiver, and he actually uses the word of God to do it because of our ignorance, because we don't understand the difference between the first Adam and the last. We don't understand the difference between the old covenant and the new one. The devil can mix them, and he uses that to tell us what we want to hear. This is why the Bible says in the last days, men shall gather for themselves teachers to scratch their itching ears. What it simply means is that Adam will surround himself with teachers, pastors, preachers, who tell him what makes him feel good about the future. It makes him feel good about what's coming, because Jesus told us what's coming, and it's not good at all. It's not good for any of us. The only people that will even escape the brunt of it are those that enter fully in, those that are watching and praying and enter fully in the last day when the tares are removed. They enter fully in, and there is an escape. I believe that. I don't have any doubt. It's in the Word. They're not subject to the wrath of God. But friend, that's very few. There's very few that's going to take place. Most of human beings, no matter how religious they are, no matter how many things they've confessed, even if they've got their morning confessions and they do it every morning, they're still going to face the 100-pound hailstones. They're still going to face the plagues and the sicknesses and the diseases. They're still going to be losing people left and right. The pain is going to be unimaginable. And then the illusion that God's here to make me happy and he's going to give me success, they're going to cuss God, and that illusion's going to melt away with fervent heat. But beloved, the Word of God says the sin that so easily besets us, it's not hard. It's not hard for the devil to deceive us. All he has to do is tell us what we want to hear. We're in the waiting. We are in the waiting, just waiting to deceive ourselves. All we need is someone to convince us that what we want is true. That's deception. Deception is just telling Adam what he wants. Telling Adam it gets better from here. Telling Adam things are going to get wonderful. That God's going to make you so happy. That he's going to give you all the things that you want. That's pretty much what's going on. It's a lie. It's a lie. And nothing is more devastating than when we live for years and years and years with an illusion, and then the heat begins to melt the illusion. The fiery trial begins to melt the illusion. And then what are we left with? Because when we think about, is it true? Have I been deceived for decades? Have I been believing a lie? Have I wasted 30 years? Have I wasted 40 years? Have I wasted 10 years, 5, whatever it may be? Have I wasted all of this time? And it's hard to even swallow it. It's hard to accept such a thing. It's devastating. I had a young pastor tell me, if everything I've ever done and everything I've ever believed is wrong, how in the world do I change it? Where do I go from here? Give me step 1, 2, 3. How do I change it? My answer was, you can't. You can't change it. You have to believe what he did. You have to understand what he did. You have to confess what he did. It's your only hope. It's your only way out is a revelation, a true, not a deception, from an angel disguised as an angel of light, but he's a messenger from Satan. Not a lie, but the truth will set you free. When you stop believing a lie, but to go through that process where our illusions are melted away. I remember, I'll just say it, I remember my associate pastor, his wife, loved all the prophets that I used to really like, all these modern day prophets that are always prophesying great future and all these wonderful things that God's going to do in our lives. You know, they're false prophets, friend. They mean well. They're good people. You can't find any better Adams in the world. They're wonderful people. They fast all the time. I mean, they're very religious. Well, if you live with them, you'd find out because I know some of them, and I know people that work with them, friend. They're not good. They are not good. They look good in the pulpit. What they believe sounds good, but they're not good. They're not good people. They're good compared to some other people, but they're not. And so I told her, I said, listen, why do you keep believing these people when everything that they've said? You have to deceive yourself to believe false prophets, because every time their prophecies don't come to pass, you have to make up something new. You have to make up something to keep deceiving yourself. Even if they say something very specific is going to happen, it doesn't happen. You start spiritualizing it. You start saying, well, maybe it happened in the spirit, and because you can't face the fact that you are believing a lie. That you have been living for decades or for many years or for many months, however long it's been, you can't face the fact that you've been living in an illusion. And the only thing that will ever get you to a point is tremendous suffering. Tremendous loss is the only thing that can get us out, can wake us up and get us out of our stupor. This is why the Bible talks about if need be, you will face many diverse trials. You're going to face a lot of pain, a lot of fire, if need be. If need be. Friend, Adam needs it. I can assure you of that. There are so many Adams that need fire. They need pain. It's their only hope. Their only hope is to go through deep, dark suffering, because it's the only thing that will finally deliver them from their illusion, from the lies that they're believing. And the reason, friend, that we believe a lie is because the truth is too scary. The truth is too painful to accept. Friend, we don't want to hate our family. We don't want our family to hate us. So we would much rather believe that God's going to bless our life and bless our kids and bless our grandkids, and He's going to give us a revival and save them all, and everything's going to be peaches and cream. We would much rather believe that. We don't want to tell them your life is corrupt, that God hates it, and that God crucified it. And if you don't reject it, friend, we don't want to tell our family pain is coming, suffering is coming, darkness is coming. If you think COVID was bad, you've seen nothing. You haven't seen anything yet. We don't want to tell our families that. We want to bounce our grandkids on our knee and tell them, you can be whatever you want to be. God loves you. Oh my goodness, He loves you, and He's got a great plan for your little life. You're bouncing that little devil on your knee because you love that little devil. That little devil came out of you. You're a big devil. And that little devil came from you, you big devil. And now you want to love the little devil. And you don't, that little devil's going to grow up and face the same crap you've grown up and faced. You ought to bounce that little guy on his knee and say, oh my goodness, you have no idea the trouble coming. Because you are wicked. You are wicked, and God's got to show it to you. Oh, who wants to hear that, boy? Man, God have mercy. It's an illusion that we want. We want the illusion. So the devil gives us exactly what we want. And then we want to blame the devil. Friend, all he's here to do is just push you into the direction you want to go. He's here to give you what your appetites desire. He's here to tell you what you want to hear. And this is where we are. We are in a day, a very dark day, especially in America, because of our prosperity, because almost nobody's going hungry. There are some people for sure, but almost nobody's going hungry in America. Almost no one is going hungry. There's a ton of suffering. I understand that. But our prosperity has lied to us and deceived us. And now we think that God's goal is to make us happy and to put us on the top. And all we've done is deceive ourselves. And now we go find teachers to tell us what we want to hear. The devil doesn't even have to try, friend. We go find him. He doesn't even have to find us. We'll search the internet to find him. We'll look in every dark corner of the world to find the devil so he can tell us what we want to hear. My God, what is a false prophet? A false prophet is any Adam born of the first Adam telling other Adams things to make them feel good. It's telling them their future is bright. It's not warning them of the troubles to come. It's promising them success. It's promising them happiness. It's promising them that their latter will be greater than their former. And it even uses all kinds of scriptures out of context to promise such things. Was Paul's latter greater than his former? Of course it was. As soon as they cut his head off, his latter was much greater than his former. Oh my goodness. Did God give him the wealth of the wicked? Of course he did. As soon as they cut his head off, my friend, everything belongs to him. He's seated at the right hand with Christ. It's total deception to try to apply the promises of God to the flesh and try to apply them to the natural world that is in a state of decay and is reserved for the fire. May God open our eyes and deliver us from deception, from illusion, from darkness. When we go through disillusion, I want to talk about that before we close here. What does it mean to go through disillusion? That is a very difficult when somebody goes through that. We can actually see it. I worked in Lakeview Center for I think 7 or 9 years. I can't remember how long it was, something like that. And I worked with I was a psychiatric technician, and I worked with psychiatric patients from the age of 5 years old to about 18 to 20. Sometimes we'd have them a little older than 18, but normally 5 to 18, and then we would transition them, to the adult population. But the illusion that a person with schizophrenia has when they begin to, it's you got to be very careful to deliver them from it, because a human can be so shocked by finding out what they've been believing is a lie that it could completely comatose, it could devastate a human being. And so you have to be cautious with the human mind. You've got to be cautious with it. And this is when you go through disillusion, what disillusion is a compound word that means the dissolving of an illusion. And when your illusion begins to dissolve, it is devastating to the human psyche. This is why God said, if you don't hate your own life, you can't be my disciple. That word life is psyche. It's psuche in Greek, spelled psyche when it's transliterated into English, psyche. It's the human soul, it's the human psyche that is very fragile. So when an illusion begins to dissolve, the human psyche will go crazy. The human psyche can't handle finding out I've been duped, finding out my whole life has been worthless. This is what happened to Paul. It was devastating. If God didn't take him by the hand and help him, he would have probably killed himself or something. All he found out, his entire life was a lie. And friend, his whole life was about God. His whole life was about prayer. His whole life was fasting and praying and reading the scriptures and memorizing them and believing what he believed, his whole life. And then he found out that everything he believed was an illusion. It was absolutely devastating. No wonder it took 15 years or more before he really began to preach the gospel, before he really began to plant churches and really preach the cross. It was over 15 years before that. At first, he first started saying, Jesus is the Messiah. He really is. He started sharing that through the scriptures. But he didn't know about the cross. He didn't know about the difference of the covenants. He didn't know anything yet. 15 years later, he comes back to Antioch and he begins to preach what he had found out. It took God over 15 years to help him, to train him, to teach him, to show him the truth. Oh my goodness, the pain and the sorrow he had to go through when his illusion dissolved, when he realized all that I've ever done, all that I've ever thought is a big pile of steaming crap, as the way he put it. I count it all dung. Friend, this isn't just a scripture. This is a human being going through disillusion, going through the dissolving of an illusion. I count it all dung. If he did not hate his own psyche, if he loved his psyche, he would have gotten medicated. He would have used alcohol. He would have done something. He would have done something to overcome the darkness and the sorrow in his psyche. He would have loved his psyche. He would have embraced his psyche. He would have gotten help for his psyche. That's why Jesus said, if you don't hate your own psyche, it's the exact word he used. If you don't hate your own psuche, if you don't hate your own psyche, you cannot be my disciple. If you love your psyche, you're going to lose your life. But if you hate it, you can gain mine. Because, friend, if you do not embrace the pain and embrace the fact that you have been duped and that everything you've ever done is worthless, if you don't embrace that, you cannot really walk in the true revelation of the cross. Oh, my goodness. It's just, this is why it's too much. This is why when Jesus was talking at one point, even when Stephen, think about Stephen, when Stephen was talking, they put their hands over their ears and they ground their teeth. I mean, deep, deep angst. And they rushed on him and stoned him to death. They could not stand what they were hearing. And these were the believers, friend. These weren't the sinners. These were the believers. They had been believing for many, many years something that wasn't true. They believed. They still believed the old covenant and didn't know the purpose for it. They still thought if we'll obey God, he's going to put us on the top, make us rich, make us successful, keep all the sicknesses off of us. They were still believing that. And when Jesus came and said, you're all the same thing and you're all headed for the same destruction. Oh my God. They hated him. And then Stephen, oh, I see the Son of Man, the one you hate standing at the right hand. Oh my goodness. They ground their teeth and covered their ears and rushed in to kill him. This is what Christians are going to do to true believers in the final season. Trust me, it'll happen. Your most polite preacher will kill you. Why? Because Adam can't even stop himself from his own hatred when he hears the genuine truth. I got so angry when God told me the truth. I started going through all kinds of pain and suffering. And when God told me the truth, friend, I cussed him as loud as I could cuss. My flesh was awakened like it's never been awakened. I didn't even know it was there. I hated him. My natural man does not love God at all. But in my spirit, I love God. I know the truth, and I don't want a lie. I don't want my natural man anymore. I don't want anybody to tell me it gets better. I don't want anybody to tell me God's going to, because I know it's a lie. And if somebody tells me that, I'll call them a liar because they are a liar. And I'm not going to be duped like that again because I never want to go through that sorrow of finding out the truth after I've been living a lie. I don't want to go through that again. I'm facing that still today. Praise God. Realizing that everything I've done, there's no value in it. The only value is in what is done truly in Christ as we reject our own life and deny ourselves, and we're going through weakness and trouble and his life is manifesting. That has eternal value. That has eternal value. Those who suffer with him will be glorified with him. Very plain, very clear. Those who suffer now will be blessed then. Those who weep now will be comforted then. Friend, it's not the ones who do well. It's the ones who suffer with Christ and in Christ who will have the eternal reward. Oh, beloved, I'll stop today. God bless you, and may the Holy Ghost continue to patiently, kindly, oh my goodness, and give us a lot of comfort as he delivers us from all the illusion that we want and that the devil's glad to help us believe. In Jesus' name, may God deliver us. Amen.